Right. Welcome to Street Psychology Podcast. Today's guest is Dr. Moore. She's a CEO and founder of Moore Holistic Wellness. She's a doctor of philosophy, doctor of integrative medicine. She speaks at a lot of universities, and she focuses a lot on trauma and wellness. Dr. Moore, would you mind just telling us a little bit more about how you got into this field?
First, thank you so much for inviting me in your podcast. And I know you've been doing this for a while now. You're changing life. For me, I think we found each other in the worst place because I was very sick, because I used to work many hours a week. When you're just doing what you have to do, take care of your family, you get sucked into so much pieces, personalities, then you just don't know who you are anymore. So I was doing things and I got sick, very sick. And then from that, I couldn't, after 7 years, keep on doing what wasn't working anymore. So I started digging to find a solution and associate myself with the right people and getting help with the right way, with the right people. And then I just felt from the corporate world, I needed to move to just do what I'm good at. And because sometimes we do what we can do, but what we're really good at due to trauma, anxiety, and then our past, we don't do it. So I went back to school and I became a licensed mental health counselor and I trauma informed therapist. And I have worked with thousands of students and individual people from 4 years old till 85 years old. My oldest patient right now is 85 years old. So I work with patient mind, body, and spirit and understanding how to integrate health and just, so we found each other in somehow, some way.
Yeah, I love that. We did find each other, and the work that we do is so important. It helps. And like you said, that from 8 to 85, you can still benefit from some type of therapy, and specifically trauma. So you decided to go into the trauma and the holistic wellness because you said you were making yourself sick in the corporate world.
Correct. Because, you know, when you start, I came to the United States in 1992, and actually, when I started, I work in, first of all, in the corporate world, my major was in business, finance and business. So I started working. You work to make money and then you start adding to this family. You don't take care of yourself. So the more you do, the more you start suppressing. And then all your needs, your immediate needs become your priority. You forget about what you're supposed to be about in the world. And I think over time, I was so stressed and all of the past symptoms of stress and anxiety came back because we all came from at least 7 generations of trauma we carry on. Mm-hmm. And anxiety comes as a result of lack of care sometime, and biology plays a role sometimes, self-care plays a role, but a lot of the time it's just lack of self-care. And I wasn't taking care of myself. I was working 3 jobs, I was making money. And when it's come to self-care, it wasn't a priority. But I needed to go back to understand the way I was functioning, it wasn't ideal. And then that's where I start digging and then finding solution by self-care, application, exercising, doing the basic. And by healing myself, I end up also becoming a healer, not only for me, but also for many people that I'm working with over the past 15 plus years.
Yeah. And this has been, so what drew you to focus specifically on professionals between 30 and 50?
Because these are the people usually that do not have time to take care of themselves. Okay. They go about, there's a transition, this group of men and women they go through. It's all about building the lives, starting to focus on what next. You know, it's like you take this group, this grouping of the age, and you start building from, you graduate from high school, you spend another 4 or 5 years in college, and then now you realize the money you were supposed to make to just establish a standard of living, you can't make it. Then you start saying, okay, what's next? Then you start getting stressed because kids add up. Relationship stressors add up. You know, family stressors add up. But you still don't deal with the root cause of why you have problem in your relationship, why you have problem personally with yourself, what's going on at the bottom, at the root cause, root of your inflammation pattern, dysfunction you have in your life. So that's technically for me where I started feeling like life is getting too heavy. And I think once you take this grouping and then you start become more aware, it's just becoming more aware. It's like what I speak also in my book, Mindful Yes, 5 pillars to understand and creating a balance in your life. It just, you get there to understand what is at the baseline you need to take care of.
So, and your book, is that your latest book?
My latest book is called Mindful Yes. Mindfulness versus Mindful Yes. Mindfulness, for me, it's all about taking action. It focuses in the 5 most important areas of your life, which is the health, family relationship based on your trauma, what you carry on into your relationship and your health, how it affects you. You also have your finances. If finance is not working very well, you know how it goes, Latoya.
It gets, it's tough.
Into you. And then you have also your relationship that grounds you. I call that spirituality. Where do you anchor? Where do you go to when everything is falling apart? So I'm like, okay, now we have family, we have health, we have, now there's a pillar that is so important that we dismiss sometimes. It's our love life, because our love life carries most of our stress. Okay.
Yeah.
The way we interact with our loved ones affect us tremendously. So I think those 5, I used to call it the table of life. So creating how you create a decent balance in your life, and then very subjective, of course, but that book is my latest book. That's in bestseller in Amazon. I'm working right now for another book signing that's coming up. So thank you for asking.
Yeah, no, congratulations, because you're putting it into a tangible form for people.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's all based off of your experiences. You've seen these 5 core principles be the most important things to consider in mid-level professionals ages 30 to 50. These are the stressors that cause that buildup.
Correct. Because a lot of the time when I'm seeing patients, and you probably have had that same experience if you work as well in advocate for mental health in general, a lot of the time people that come to you, it's not they're mentally sick. It's sometimes they are physically sick. So their health is not taken care of. Or they have so many problems in their relationship. Or they don't have any spiritual grounding. They just wander. But trauma affects all those 5 pillars. And a lot of the time, if you start taking care of one that is completely in the bottom low, it gives you some relief. And then you can go up slowly, create some kind of balance.
Yeah. What kind of trauma, when you refer to trauma, what sort of traumas are you referring to?
Referring more on how we brought up in terms of what we heard what abandonment issues we are affected with, what our need, basic need that's are not being met, emotional trauma, sexual trauma, as well when it's come to understand what is it at the bottom line that is affecting you. Because when we understand trauma, it's not what happened to you, whether it's chronic versus acute, something happened to you, a loss. Mm-hmm. 9/11. People are still suffering from 9/11 trauma. Mm-hmm. It's been a while, but add on to this what you had in your family that have affected you. So there's a multiple layer we feel we endure that a lot of the time it's not even addressed. So sometimes, unfortunately, when you feel you have a stressor that is sexual sometimes, with a lot of patients with sexual trauma, and they don't have any idea the amount of stress the body has endured. And when they act, whether startled, whether they have their overreaction over the way they function with individual in general, in their relationship, the partners, that they don't understand what's coming up, because a lot of the time they don't share it.
Right.
And now here is another partner, whether it's the man or the woman, that have no idea why you are so alert when I'm touching you. What's going on in your body? Whether it's abandonment, my mom and dad was not ever available for me. Whether I suffer from different type of issues, I never dealt with them because I didn't even understand their trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And then they are affecting me, whether psychologically, emotionally, and then I carry on and I pour it onto someone else that is becoming a victim of you being a victim. So we re-victimize a lot of the time by the way we approach other people, by not understanding ourselves. So if you take time to work with someone that can help you, sometimes you just come up like, wow, this is why I am functioning like this. This is why if I understand me, it's easier to understand other people. And I give understanding as well. Stephen Covey says, seek to understand instead of being understood. And I am giving more freedom to myself to just be patient. Give grace to people that I'm surrounded by. And then be more caring towards myself. Because a lot of the time we cause damages to ourselves because we are so unaware of the damage that have caused to us.
Yeah.
So that type of trauma is wide, but sexual trauma, psychological and acute and chronic, that's what I work with the most often with patients in my clinic.
Yeah. And you see this happening for people within that age range, because earlier in life, they're not attending to that trauma, but you see how it affects them currently in as an adult.
That is correct. Because, you know, if I'm working with a young kid, 12 years old, because parents have been using alcohol and abandoned technically this child, that 12 years old is accumulating so much stress and to the point that it become numb to affection, because he knows he's not going to receive affection from parents because the alcohol dysfunction or in his family or her family. So over time, the abandonment of the self is really crazy. But when you start understanding at early age how to deal with yourself because of what's going on in your life, you don't suffer too much the consequences at late age. I work with kids right now. I have some of the kids that I'm working with for the past 5 years, 7 years, and they have addiction in their family, or a one parent raised by a mother or a father, and then they're having difficulties, or a lot of the sexual trauma. I work with people. I speak six languages. So I'm fortunate to work with people with different background and also cultural competence is so important. So I work with them in different ways so they understand where they're coming from and why they function the way they function.
Yeah, cultural differences. That's a big one that's often overlooked.
Yes.
And having that cultural competency, it helps make more people feel seen and heard. But can you talk a little bit more about cultural differences in trauma responses?
It is so diverse because I had the pleasure to work with individuals from Europe, the way they carry the trauma, based on my experience in my clinic, okay? So they have to be very comfortable with you to trust you enough to share. And it can take up to a year to 2 years for them to share, hey, I had sexual trauma in my life. But in the meanwhile, even if you see some of the symptoms, you can't share that. You can't talk. So I work with them to get to a place where this is your time. This is your space. It's not my agenda. You're following your own agenda, okay? So feel comfortable to share as much. I noticed that it gets to a point where they feel very comfortable and they will share casually. Hey, just so you know, that happened to me and my uncle or my a sibling did it. In terms of us Black, it's very difficult to trust someone to share this because the shame that it carries. Latino, the same. Indian, BIPOC, it's a different way. Contextually, culturally, you have to get to a point where you understand what it takes for someone to get to the level of trust to share with you their deepest secret. Mm-hmm. Not because they don't want to share it. Not because it's not causing frustration in their lives, but just because they don't even trust themselves to share this. Their view about themselves, the stigma it carries. When I say something to Dr. Moira now, will she see me different or will she still carry the same level of love or affection or empathy? Or will she pity me? Will she feel that different about me now? How will I be viewed from now on? So you got to create different places. And I'm in a place like I'm holding this space for you to get to that comfort level where when it's come to coaching you about trauma, it becomes your journey. No rush, no stress. Let's make it about you. I say to my patient, I don't have any schedule on your behalf. Whatever you tell me we can work with, that's what we're going to work with. It's your journey. And it will take as long as necessary for you to become in a different version of yourself. But knowing you don't have to rush, you don't have to please me. Don't tell me what I want to hear. Tell me what's going to change your life and how I can support you.
Because some people, they think that the therapist is the one doing the work, the one that's going to help you through everything, fix everything. But like you said, it's your journey. It's your decision. And it's your healing, right? And you did. And the client gets to decide how that looks for them.
That is.
And that's important.
That's totally what I give the space for people, whether it's coaching, whether it's mental health counseling. And with coaching, you have broader view because it's easier. We have more restriction as a therapist. There's a lot. You have to really be strict to certain way you work. But I think coaching gives me more opportunity to work broader.
Yeah.
Different places as well. I'm licensed mental health counselor in Massachusetts. So I'm bound to respect to the ethic, staying in Massachusetts working. But with coaching, I can offer other layer because I can work with you where you understand your body, mind, body, spirit.
Yeah. So the mind, body, and the spirit, the connection between all three. So what with that? What kind of work do you do with that somatic mind-body connection?
First of all, I approach almost 99% of my patients with the Wheel of Life that I have created that is also in my website. So okay. What I do, they give me a vision of what their life looks like. And it's include every, almost most part of yourself, because it has the health, mind, it has the inner world, it has also the psyche, it has the environment, how you interact, how is your family, how is your, you, in general, your love life. So it gives you a good panorama. So if you probably experience that, when someone comes to work with you as a mental health counselor, they think you're looking them from the head up. So what happens if it's you are not sleeping well because you have so much stress, because you have relationship issues, because you have financial issues, because you're struggling because of the past trauma, and you, your sexual life is completely irrelevant. You know, what happened when you come and you're seeing me, but your life, it's not only reflection of, okay, I have depression, but I'm not eating well. Okay, now what do? I can speak to you all your life. I can encourage you, but if you don't have the food to buy the nutrient to feed your gut so the gut can feed the brain, it doesn't matter how much psychology and encouragement I'm providing you and listening to you, providing you the full baseline of CBT, person-centered, reality therapy. I can use all of that. But if you go home, you don't have the food to eat to feed your gut bacteria, and then your brain can be revived, because 95% of all your neurotransmitters are produced in the gut. So I can speak to you, and then you go, you take your medication, you feel better for a day, and then you come back and cycle back with the same issues. So I take time to make people understand. It's not the mind, it's separated from the body. It's not the body separated from your environment. Let's work in integration. Let's bring the mind, the body, and the spirit together, and let's work in unison so you can create some sort of balance so you don't have to suffer, because you have a choice to make. And that choice, when you make it from a place of strength, so a lot of the time I send my patient to sleep better. I said, go for a walk. But if you don't have the strength to go for a walk, you know, you need to start cooking better. Just eating the same ish food that, you know, causing you to be anxious. Sugar is addictive. And then you start going through a chain where you get completely anxious and reactive. It's just because you don't have the nutrients in your body. So a lot of compassion comes when someone works with me, and in terms of trauma, mind, body, and spirit, it's the integration. And on top of that, I am also a minister. So there's a layer to bring to spirituality as well. And it doesn't have to be religion. It could be spirituality, where you really focus on your life as a battlefield to ground, to get your needs met.
Yeah, you got it. You put it all in there. You covered every base.
Thank you.
Yeah. So how receptive are your clients to changing their lifestyles?
I am not going to brag, but I have really a good 90%+ success rate in my clinic. Whether I'm working with a patient, it's only for mental health, the integration will happen naturally, seamlessly. And if you come in to work with me, because I have different hat, I'm a life coach. So if you're working with me as a life coach, I'm going to make the integration happen. I can't separate the body now from the mind. I can't separate the mind, because when I started to work as a licensed clinician, I used to focus solely in psych. But when I become more as a functional medicine practitioner and doctor in integrative medicine, I realized, you know, when it's come to body, everything is energy. What is the energy you're putting in the world? So what are you about? So energy is everything. So what you share, what you talk about, what your existence is about, what the meaning of the life you are living, it's so important. So I feel it's just the people find a friend in Dr. Moira, not is someone in command. We laugh, we joke, we have a good time, but the work gets done. Because that's an environment that empower you to become your best.
Empowerment.
Yes.
So how do people know that they're healing instead of coping?
That's a beautiful question. I love that. And it's get me to go and close my eyes. When it's come to healing, for me, it goes at a deep soul level. It's just not you do the work, you get a quick fix, and then you run, and then you come back, you rest and repeat. I do not have patients that come with the intention, or maybe if they come with the intention, they are quick to switch it. To face themselves. When you look at this person in the mirror and then you start loving this person, healing starts. When you look at in the mirror, you start having a relationship and you start forgiving yourself. You start understanding a lot of the things that happened in your life, they happened for you, not to you. And it's testimony for you to your next best self. That's for me the journey for healing. That's for me the journey of transformation. Because it's happened seamlessly. There's not a force. There's not a fake version of yourself anymore. There's not coming to me and telling me what I want to hear. I can get naked right now because this person gets me. This person understands me. She went through her journey herself and now she's on a journey to help me. And now we're not in a power relationship. I'm on the top, you're in the bottom, or you're in the top, I'm on the bottom. It just doesn't work anymore. We just sink easily. And then we're able to share a space where we create. Imagination becomes wild. Creativity is at the center of your healing journey. That's what all quantum energy, I integrate quantum energy, quantum physics, and I bring that together to just let's start digging. And then you start realizing, oh my God, there's such a beautiful like Sylvia, Moira, Peter, Lily, Maria inside that I didn't know, but I'm giving her a chance. I'm giving him a chance to start this journey from scratch and realize it's never too late. You can start today. You can start this journey today and make a decision. You're going to be better tomorrow. And that's all. And if you do your best today to dig in and start living in gratitude, I see all of those, the people that are healing, start being grateful for what happened to them, what's happening with them right now, and the best they have to achieve. Because gratitude eliminates all anxiety, frustration, resentment, anger, and it just brings forgiveness. And you embrace that simplicity of living. So I love this question. Thank you.
Wow. Thank you. I mean, I felt that. I learned from that. A reminder to be grateful, to show gratitude, to give ourselves grace to grow, to love ourselves. Because we hear it so much. You need to love yourself first, right? You need to love yourself, appreciate yourself before you can start working on relationships with anyone else. But it seems so hard. But like you're saying, take it day by day. And it works. And so healing is not just learning a coping skill, taking one of those skills out of your toolbox. It's a feeling that you get.
That is correct. Because once you start digging and then you are true to yourself, you don't negotiate anymore about who has done to me. How can I change? How can I be transformed? How can I live an authentic life that full of meaning? I stop questioning what have been done to me and start being more in love. What can I achieve by focusing on the now? Because the present today, it's so amazing to open this present. Every day I wake up and I'm like, oh, Lord, that is so beautiful this day. I made it. Jeez. So many people didn't make it, but I made it. You know, I love the name street psychology. Yeah. And it has to be so sophisticated. Why we have to live it so complicated? Life is so simple. I say to people, don't take life so seriously. It's not permanent, okay? Just chill out. Just chill out.
That's so true.
I love the name of your podcast, Street Psychology. Keep it simple, okay? Just keep it as simple. And make it just easy for people to understand their lives. Because you've done your work. It wasn't easy. But make it simplified for other people. And make it enjoyable, the journey, so they don't feel so scared. I provide a space where people don't feel so scared. You just can come. And I work with male and female. These, that age group, 30 plus 50s, they just feel good. They just feel grateful they are working with someone that can get them. And then 50s, 60s, you're there. You know, now the 50 is the new 25 right now. So if you just turn 50, just thinking you just hit the first realm of your quarter of your centuries.
Yeah, you're just starting.
You're just starting.
You're pretty much, yeah. Yeah.
Totally.
So let me ask you this. So self-awareness. So what role does that play in reducing stress long-term, being aware of what that stressor is? So can you get through this if you're not really aware? Is it possible to wake up one morning and say, I'm going to make these positive changes. I'm going to start to think differently when you're not really sure of what you're trying to change?
I think it's almost impossible for you to become the best version of yourself without using self-awareness.
Okay. Yeah.
Because it entails you to knock at the door and look in the box inside of the closed door, what's here? So if I'm working, I love to use images because the brain works with pictures. So if I'm working with an individual that's completely feel not well to share with me their lives right now. So I'm working with a version of yourself. That version might not be the version you want to correct. It might be the version you feel comfortable with. So I'm working basically in the dark because I don't know what to help you with. But a lot of the time, when you use self-awareness, I think this is the start of the journey for healing to happen. because we have a tendency to consistently frame behind. We look our life and we, it's so funny. I have patient, not funny, but I say that funny. Patient that I have give them work to just go look at yourself in the mirror and say, I love you. First week, I didn't do it. I could not do it. What we take for granted sometimes, look at yourself in the mirror and confront yourself. Don't confront yourself. Change the word. Confront yourself. Look at yourself and start caring for this being that you have not done it for days, months, years. That you've been living with for the past 20, 30, 40, 50 years. Start opening up to yourself because it's a self-awareness. I am aware of things inside of me that I have not cared for. I have not been open to look at. And when you do that, it's a guarantee you get to another place where you are more at ease. You're not so stressed on what people think about you, but you're more open to receive comment, not as criticism. There's places, there are people that you know that lovely in your life, but you're so deeply ingrained into putting this cover, and then you want them to see the cover, it's not you. And because I have done energy work over time, I see the person behind the mask. But what I do, which is I am grateful, I'm that vessel. I just give people opportunity to feel not confident enough, but trusting enough. So you can look at your life with me through our lens together. Because sometimes I have to say it's hard to look at yourself in the mirror and say, I love you. But maybe you can look at yourself while I am there to look what is beautiful about yourself and give yourself permission to start loving yourself once for the first time or once again, because we all born with that deep free spirit, and over time things we have encountered in our life dim our light, and then we live in this darkness that we don't realize. But with this deep darkness, I say to individual, until you open your heart for light to get in, you will live in this dark shade of yourself. This darkness can only be released by opening your heart and let your light shine. And by opening your light and let the light shine, guess what? People can see you. A lot of people want to be seen, but they just live in the darkness. I wish this could happen for me, but I'm ever going to just show up. I wish to become a best speaker, but I will never be able to go. And can you get some training? Can you work with someone? Can you go to listen to street psychology and then get some inspiration? How people have done it. It didn't come like this for me. I went through my 7 years of journey of rediscovering myself, becoming aware of what wasn't working for me mentally, physically, because that journey of deep issue that I had, anxiety, depression, want nothing to do with life anymore. Because I look at this woman that I'm looking at right now that I've fallen in love with over the past 15 years. That woman is the same woman that I couldn't stand when I look at in the mirror that I used to see ugly. Because the people used to look at me and tell me, oh my God, you do have an accent. Oh, you can't do this. You can't do that. You can't. Not now. I would work with a lot of people and I would just train. And then I trained them to take the promotion that I applied for that wasn't qualified for. So over time, my light get to dimmer. And then I start believe I wasn't good enough. Mm-hmm. And then by believing it, I just can't be aware of who I am. But I know from my parents, my family, where I came from, there was a deep understanding that, Moira, where are you? So I had to go knock at the door and find me. But it required me to do the work. It required me to just go for, you know, that finding a mentor, listening to, I remember my, that there was a podcast when I, it's 15, 20 years ago, 18 years ago. It was Les Brown, Lisa Nicole, Tony Robbins. It was those things I used to surround myself with. And I used to go all those preacher, T.D. Jakes, and everything that I could find to keep my spirit up. I used to work with mentors directly. And that's where I am now to speak with you in your amazing Sweet Psychology podcast. I would never have the honor to meet you without doing the work and the self-awareness that I had brought to my own life.
Mm-hmm. And that cliche where people say, if I can do it, so can you. But it's true. We can do it, so can you. And to be there for people. I mean, I love this conversation with you. I see your enthusiasm. I can only imagine what your clients experience. So
yeah, we are a vessel. And I feel this is such a blessing. Someone can come to me and just trust me that I can help them. So I don't take this for granted. So everybody that comes to me, I feel gratitude for you to come, to show up. And I know if you stick to the routine, the what I'm sharing with you, with the resources that will be provided to you, it's a guarantee your life will change forever. And maybe not at 100% today, but what is 1%? Version one is better than version none. Mm-hmm. So let's stick to one step at a time. I said, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. So if you want to swallow it, you're going to die. So guess what? The same thing with psychology, the same thing with doing the work, as you say, right? Let's stay one step at a time. If I can do it, you can do it. But don't rush it. Breathe. Take your time. Your journey, it's not going to be your sister, your brother, your cousin, your neighbor, your friend journey. Each one of us going to be in our own journey. And don't compare yourself, because comparison is the thief of all joy. And little celebration. We don't celebrate enough this little journey. I didn't have 10, but I have a 7. Okay, that's better than if I had a 3. Okay, let's celebrate every single great or little step we make in our life, in the journey called life, because this is where you're going to thrive or you're going to stay miserable. But the choice is yours. Whether you surround yourself with the great people, whether you listen to podcasts such as Sweet Psychology, whether you listen to other people that are inspiring you, because I feel so blessed to be in your presence right now. Because you have a goal, you have a mission. By finding people like me to inspire your audience, it's just not just, oh my God, I'm going to sit down and Moira going to pop up and I'm just going to do my interview and then I'm going to leave it. No, you have work. You've been putting in day out to have this so people can be interested. And I'm encouraging people, share it. Share Sweet Psychology everywhere, because this is the base for your growth. You can't fix what you don't know. And if you start getting aware and then you bring attention to it slowly, a lot of change will happen. A journey of 1,000 miles, start with one step, two step, it's 1 mile at a time, and you reach to the end. Mm-hmm. It's a journey. But at the end, I realized one beautiful thing. After you reach to the high top, what next? If you don't enjoy the journey, guess what? When you get to the tip top, whether it's too fast or too slow, whatever, you don't enjoy the journey, you're still miserable at the top. Because the top is pretty lonely. Wow. Bottom is too crowded and the top is too lonely.
Yeah.
Where do we win?
where do we, it's the journey.
It's the journey.
It's the journey. Well, thank you so much. And I want to know, where can listeners find out more about your coaching services, your mindfulness protocol, and your books, everything that you offer?
My book is in Amazon under Moira Livell, my name. You can reach any of these books, the latest book, It's Mindful Yes. Also, I have two other books that I've written solo and over seven others that I have co-authors with Les Brown included, some of them that I've trained with a lot of the best in the industry to just do what I do with a competency. I have Moira.com, M-O-I-R-A-R. If you go to my website for consultation, I provide consultation for patients or people that want to check in to know what you want, how you start the journey of your life, and by taking the simple steps. And it doesn't require a lot of knowledge. It just requires a lot of desire for change and transformation. And that's where you start. And my email, it's moira@moira.com, moira@moira.com. Or you can use tlc@moira.com. All of those. I made it easy so people don't make it complicated. So they can go to my website, moira.com, and click. It defined as well the free download, which is the Wheel of Life. I have presented that three months ago at the Yale University School of Medicine. And it's beautifully received. We're bringing awareness to student, graduate as well in college level. I work as a Ivy League speaker to talk about health, integration of health, how allopathic and as well Eastern medicine, Western medicine can combine. And then self-care is not negotiable, and how we just bring awareness to a group of people that we are serving.
Mm. And what are the final words that you want the audience to take away from this and remember?
Most importantly, remember you have one life to live. Live it to the fullest. Don't let your past cloud your mind so you don't enjoy this journey called life, because it is beautiful and it is what you make of it. You can choose a different path. You can choose to live a good life, and it's within your control. No matter what you have been through, no matter how challenging it is your life right now, I ask, like Les Brown say, when you're falling, fall with your head up. Because if you can look up, you can stand up. Don't fall face down. Reach out. There's always someone that loves you, that really looking forward to have a conversation with you. So even if you feel lonely, you're not alone. So reach out. Go to my website if you feel you need a professional to help you, and listen to Sweet Psychology podcast, because now I'm getting much more information on how inspiring is your podcast. And it's so seamless. I love that you don't have to just do so much preparation. Just be yourself, show up and talk. And that's what I think life is about. Keep it very simple, sweetie. Kiss. Keep it simple, sweetie. Don't just go and just get your life complicated and make it complicated. Life is simple. And the way you live right now, today, you can carry it on for the next day. And just make a choice that you're going to have that's going to make you feel, okay, I had a good life. And if you don't have it right now, take the necessary steps to get the support you need so you can change and transform.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much, Dr. Moore. It's been a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you so much, La Salvia. It's such an honor to be in your podcast to participate and make it so inspiring. I'm inspired. I think after you ask a few of those questions, I get to get those questions inside of my soul. I feel while I'm talking, I'm being transformed through your questioning as well. Because they said, if you want great answers, where do you go start? Great question. Great questions.
Thank you.
You're amazing. Thank you so much.
And great answers. You too. Thank you. I'll keep in touch.
Yes, please do.
Oh, have a good day.
Thank you. You too.